Amen. Take your Bibles and let's turn to the book of John again, chapter 1. This week we're looking at verses 4 and 5 and 9 to 12. Continuing in our series on Revelation, this Christmas series on Revelation, this week we're going to talk about the revelation of light. And as our scripture readings and the hymns kind of washed over us this morning, there's quite a bit where the Lord is just bringing this all together. Well, we notice in this season the darker days and nights have come upon us, and that time change didn't help. Now it gets dark before 5, and then the weather's cold, and then like today, the weather's cold and wet. And it's the time of the year where people can struggle with darkness on the inside. It's not surprising to see that rates of depression are higher. And it's sad. Sad. S-A-D. Sad. What they call seasonal affective disorder. They always have to make a long name. But one of the therapies to combat this sadness is light therapy. And so, what's better than to talk about light this morning? And because it's December, and we have our nice decorations all put up, and we have this tree over here, we have Christmas lights. Sometimes, some towns, they hold a Christmas tree lighting ceremony where the town comes out, and they kind of all surround the tree, and then they count down, 3, 2, 1, and then boom, they shine on. Christmas lights are beautiful. They're colorful. They make you all warm and fuzzy inside. And so who doesn't like Christmas lights? Well, I'll tell you who doesn't like Christmas lights. The ones who have to untangle all that mess to make it work. The ones who have to pinch those little bulbs and, you know, when I was young, we had real light bulbs. We had real light bulbs for Christmas lights. You know, the kind that when one went out, you knew which one it was and just unscrewed it, put another one in there. And while those bulbs were hot, it could burn you, could burn the tree, could set the house on fire. They were real lights. Well, when all the struggle is done, and you've gone up and down the ladder several times, and you come to the point where you're ready to flick that switch, right? And there's the countdown, 3, 2, 1, and nothing happens. You're like, oh no. Or you light it up and half the lights are blinking and half aren't. And you know your wife's not going to stand for that. But when you get it all right and they light up, you see the darkness recedes and you see the house, or you see the tree, you see the decorations or the candy canes. They come out. There's darkness. And when there's light, there's something that draws us toward that light. And so we come to our text this morning, and we're going to talk about light and darkness. Not Christmas lights, but the Christ light, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Jesus reveals the light. And that's our subject this morning. So let's look at John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be here in your presence. Thankful to have your word before us. Thankful for your Spirit who helps us to hear, understand, and receive your word. I pray a special blessing on your people, that they would be filled with light and the joy. Yes, the joy that the season brings, but more so the joy of knowing your Son, the joy of our salvation. And so, Lord, bless our time together, we ask in your name. Amen. Jesus is God. Last week's message was all about the revelation of God. God is revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures. And so before we come to verse 4, the Apostle John has opened up the book by telling us about the divinity of Jesus, his eternality, that he is God. He was there in the beginning. He is the creator. Verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And if we go back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 1, God created everything. It didn't happen on its own. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is God. He is in the beginning. He is the creator. It's not chance. It's only God. And so now in our text in verse 4, we find two parallel ideas here. Life and light. And these are major themes that are weaved throughout the scriptures. And so it's not surprising that these themes point to God and point to Jesus. So the first theme we consider this morning will be life. The light is life. Verse 4, in him was life. And again, that him in verse 4 is the Word, and the Word is God. He was there in the beginning. He's the creator. He, the creator himself, is life. And God makes life, and he's the life giver. So it follows that from the creator comes life. From the creator flows life. After making the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day of creation, God created life on day 5. He created the living creatures of the sea and in the air. Genesis 1:21 says, God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Living creatures have life. They are given life by the one who gives life, the Creator, Jesus. On day six, God created life on land. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds. So again, we have that living creatures. And then also on day six, God created man. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Man is a living creature. Life that was created by God. However, unlike the other living creatures, man is uniquely made in the image of God. It is by the breath of life that man became alive. It is God breathed life. And so we are more than just physical bodies, physical creatures which breathe air. We're more than that. The breath of life that God gave us is our created souls. And so God is the giver and he is the sustainer of life. Well, against the theme of life, then, is death. Death is the end of life, or the absence of life. And that's what we're meant to understand from the rest of verse 4 there, is this connection between life and God. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so there we have life now connected with the light. The life is in the incarnated Son of God, which then is the light of men. Taking on flesh to himself, Jesus is fully God and fully man. And because he is man, there is hope of light, hope of life. And of course, we're not just speaking of physical life, but spiritual life. And so John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He's speaking of eternal life. Life with God. Forever. No more death. No more suffering. No more tears. This is the hope in Jesus. This is the good news, because there is bad news. The poor state of our souls. See, when God created everything, everything was made was good. In fact, very good. But it wasn't long before Satan tempted Eve, Adam and Eve, and they fell. And sin corrupted the life of man and brought death, causing them to begin dying even while they still had in them the breath of life. Death entered the world through one man's sin. And it is our sin which separated us from the life-giving relationship with God. And death is the wage that our sin earns. And so Romans 5:12 says, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned. We're all sinners. We've all fallen under the condemnation of sin and its penalty, which is death, physical and spiritual death. Only Jesus is the perfect, sinless man. And only he fulfilled the law perfectly. Now the rest of humanity, we broke the law. We violated God's command, covenant. And so Jesus, and only Jesus, is the hope of man, is the light of men. For if because one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. By grace and the righteousness of Christ, through him, we have hope of life. That's really good news. And so we have this theme of life and its opposite, death. The second theme then is light. And it too has an opposite, darkness, or the absence of light. And this contrast we find in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. The light shines. It pushes into the darkness. It pushes out the darkness. There's contrast. There's conflict. The darkness has not overcome it. The revelation of light happens in darkness. It happens to darkness. The light shines into the darkness. Well, where's that? Where's the darkness? Well, verse 9 tells us, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The darkness is the world. It is separation from the light. The world is lost. The world is dark. The world is cold. The world is dead. And so light shines in. And Jesus entered this world with that mission, with that purpose, to save that which was lost, to open the eyes of the blind, to raise the dead, to give light. When John the Baptist was born, and his father was able to speak his name after the angel cursed him, he prophesied that his son, John, would prepare the way of the Lord, the way of the Messiah, Jesus. And he said Jesus was coming to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, the world and all of us in it are in the darkness. But the hope, the light of Christ came into the world. The light has dawned on the dark night of the world. Well, Job gives us this sense of the world of darkness, and he speaks of such things which take place in the dark. He says, there are those who rebel against the light, who are not acquainted with its ways, and do not stay in its paths. The murderer rises before his light, that he may kill the poor and needy. And in the night he is like a thief. The eye of the adulterer also waits for the twilight, saying, no eye will see me. And he veils his face. In the dark they dig through houses. By day they shut themselves up. They do not know the light. For deep darkness is mourning to all of them, for they are friends with the terrors of deep darkness. Rebellion against the light, ignorance, evil, murder, theft, adultery, all associated with darkness. The verse 10 tells us Jesus, he was in the world. Jesus came into this dark world of sin. The world which had been plunged into darkness. And in this darkness, everything is backwards. It's completely reversed. Deep darkness is mourning to all of them. It's insanity. It's illogical. It sounds like an accurate description of our present world, does it not? This world is not good. The world is not good. One commentary puts it this way, quote, nothing has ever condemned this world more roundly than its response to the coming of Jesus Christ. If people tell you that the world or the human race is basically good, remind them what it did to Jesus. End quote. The world hates Jesus, and the world hates Jesus' people. But with the dawning of light, there's always hope. God promised in the garden after the fall that the seed of Adam would crush the head of the serpent. And the light shines, it conflicts with darkness, and the light crushes the darkness. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Shine a light into a dark room, and now you can see. The darkness dissipates, it vanishes. It cannot overcome the light. It can't be stuffed out. And the same is with the true light. Jesus is the true light. And the world tried to snuff him out, but they couldn't. And so we Christians, we can take courage in the words of Jesus. He said, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is the true light. Many false teachers and antichrist have come and gone, but only Jesus is forever. Only He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is none greater than our God. Trusting in Him, in the light, we can be at peace in this crazy, reversed, dark world. But the light has come into the world. It shines into the darkness. It cannot be overcome. So what? What do we do about it? We reject or we receive. The Father sent the Son to take on flesh, and He entered this world to give hope, to bring mighty salvation. But just because He died on the cross and paid for the sins of the redeemed with His blood, with His life, doesn't mean everyone receives the light. It doesn't mean everyone is saved. Many do not understand and believe. It's verse 10 and 11. He was in the world. The world was made through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own. His own people did not receive Him. John tells us that He came into the world. He came to His people. His people who were expecting the Messiah. The fulfillment of prophecy. The anointed one. But instead of receiving Him, they rejected Him. As powerful as He was, as an incredible a teacher and preacher, and all the miracles He performed, all of it attesting to His divinity, many reject Him. They didn't know Him. They might have known His name. Maybe they knew His mama, His papa. Maybe they knew what it was that He was teaching. They knew of Him, but they did not know Him. They did not know Jesus personally. The world rejects Jesus and remains in darkness. As we heard from John chapter 12, Jesus says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in Me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears My words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects Me and does not receive My words has a judge. The words that I have spoken will judge him on the last days. How many will perish in the flames of hell because they knew of Jesus? Might have been familiar with Bible stories, but never knew Him personally. And Jesus gives this dire warning to those who remain in darkness. You see, the light came for everybody to see. Everybody can see the light. But not everybody comes to the light. There are those who remain in darkness who claim to be in the light. And so He says, not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You can't have it both ways. You can't pretend to be following Jesus and following the world at the same time. Those who think that they are good enough are not, could never be. Those who think that God will have mercy on them and cut them slack or let their sins slide, he won't. He is a righteous and impartial judge. Outside of Jesus, there is no hope. Jesus says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. To reject the light of Christ is to remain in darkness. But true believers do not reject Jesus, but embrace him and receive him. They see from the light their wicked sin, and they repent and turn away from it. And they believe that Jesus' death and his blood purchased their redemption. They have faith, and they do believe in the name of the Son of God. True believers will inherit eternal life, as promised in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life is being saved, is to move from darkness into the light and life. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as good as escaping the wrath of God, the flames of hell, as good as that is, that's not the only benefit for believers. There's something even more amazing. It's in verse 12. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. This is the glorious, incredible doctrine of adoption. Being saved and being united to Jesus by saving faith is to become fellow heirs with Christ. To receive Jesus means that you believe in his name. It's knowing Jesus and Jesus knowing you. Jesus says he's the great shepherd. His sheep hear his voice, and they know his voice. In the book of Acts, there was a magician who dazzled the people of Samaria. He impressed them. But compared to the real power of the gospel, Acts 8:12 says, when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Believe in the gospel and in the name of Jesus, and then they were baptized. They entered into the kingdom of God by believing the gospel in the name of Jesus. You see, it's not Gandhi. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. No, it's only the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is powerful, and it's offensive to the world. It was for the name of Jesus that the disciples got arrested and were brought before the officials. They told them, by what power or by what name do you do this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, who has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and the people were prophetically declaring praise to the name of Jesus, to the name of the Lord, they cried out, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Mark says it this way. They were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. The light shined into darkness. The very purpose that he came for. To save his people from their sins. And to make peace with God. And reconcile men to God. That's the significance of his name. It was the name the angel revealed to Joseph. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the wise men didn't know his name, but they were following the light, his star. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship. They were following the light. The light which was coming into the world. I'm going to read this part of the Christmas narrative, and I want you to listen and hear the themes. This is from Luke chapter 2. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. darkness. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Here's the light. And they were filled with great fear. Fear. Being in the dark. Knowing our sinfulness. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Here's his name. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Peace, reconciliation with God, life eternal. Adoption. Adopted into the family of God as children of God. To believe in the name of Jesus is to have faith. It's to have a new relationship with God under the new covenant of grace. So Jesus says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Have you seen the light? Have you heard the news? Do you desire to change, to leave the darkness and come into the light? Do you desire to know Jesus? Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. It could be too late. Don't reject the light. Receive it. Isaiah 50:10 says, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." And for those of us who have put faith, our faith in Jesus, who have come into the light, now what? Rejoice, O Christian. Praise the name of Jesus. Bless his name. Extol him. Psalm 18 says, "For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. And by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He's a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The people, this is Isaiah chapter 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shown. Because Ephesians 5 says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So brothers and sisters, praise God that Jesus was sent to reveal to man Jesus is the light. Let's pray. God, we are thankful and we are humbled to be in your presence. We are awed, amazed that you would die for us, that you would pour out your blood to cover our sin. We are grateful that you have called us from out of the darkness and into your marvelous light. This is a dark world, and this world needs the light. The world needs a Savior. And I pray, Lord, as children of light, that we would walk in the light, that we would be brilliant, shining for you, your glory, that many will see the light and come to you in faith and repentance. God, use your word and use our lives for your glory to call more sons and daughters into your kingdom and into your family. We thank you for being our King, our Savior, our light. We pray in his name. Amen.